First of all, I'd like to express my appreciation for the opportunity of being here. It was 2 years ago that I was supposed to be here, and I had an ear problem. I had an ear stroke. I lost my hearing in my left ear, had to go through a surgery, and then I got Meniere's disease, and I was flat on my back for about 3 weeks. And so I wasn't able to be here 2 years ago, and I really don't know if Mike realized how close he was to not having me this year. In the middle of May, I had an outbreak of shingles and almost lost my sight in my left eye. And so, but that was resolved rather quickly, I believe, not only by medical care, but by the prayer of the saints. And so I certainly appreciate the opportunity of being here. And sharing with you not anything that is necessarily intrinsic within Cindy and myself, because what we've always sought to do is to live our lives according to the will of God, and thus to take our responsibility very seriously to raise our children. We live in a great country, but even in this great country, we have problems. We have crime. We have sexual immorality. We have a general disrespect for God. And we have a problem with young people. But it's not the problem that I believe that we ordinarily think of. Most of the time when we think of the problems that we have with our young people, it's because they're rebels. It's because they're troublemakers. It's because they will not respect mom and dad. But that's not the trouble that I'm talking about. We find that young people are abused and neglected every day. Tens of thousands all over the United States are in foster care. Millions worldwide have to fend for themselves and effectively raise themselves. The problem that we have in the world and in the United States is not just there. It's even in the Lord's church. There are many parents who are not parenting their children. Sometimes there are single parents that have to struggle with raising their children by themselves. And oftentimes this causes a lot of troubles. But we of all people need to realize that there is a solution to this problem. And the solution to this problem is really within the Word of God. And that's the title of my lesson today. But bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Cindy and I would have to say, would be rather fortunate, because we were raised by parents who were Christians, who loved the Lord, and who loved us. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, there the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." As I said before, Cindy and I were fortunate. We had parents that not only read this, but they applied that in their lives and in our lives. Cindy's mother and father, Dolores and Orland McCann, trained her in the way that she should go. Now, this is an old, old picture, but this is one of the few pictures that we have of Cindy, her brother, her mother, and dad. But both her mother and father were Christians. And it was their desire to raise Cindy and Daryl in the admonition of the Lord. And likewise with my mother and father, Parvin and Pauline DeBerry. Some of you may know, Dad passed away in 2001, but Mother is still alive and she's still doing her part to guide both Lloyd and I by example in the ways that we should go. But we don't understand, I believe, how important the role of parents are in the training and the admonition of the Lord, because we look all around us and we see that there are parents that are having good times. They're leaving their children at home and going and doing things with their friends, and they're going and doing recreational things, and really their children are at home raising themselves. What we've got to understand is that having children is not a burden, but having children is a blessing. Children, indeed, are a blessing from the Lord. Over in Genesis 17, verse 16, here we find that God is promising to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child. That child promise, that child that would be Isaac. And we find there the happiness and the joy, not just because Isaac is going to be born and he's going to be the fulfillment of the promise, but a child is going to be born to them. And we find likewise in Genesis 28, in verse 3, we find there that Isaac is blessing his children. And we find that Jacob is going to be blessed with many children. Happiness should be there as a result. A passage of Scripture that we often read over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Notice there, starting with verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, probably after we had 4, 5, or 6, both sides, parents, thought my quiver was full enough. But I came from a family that had, I only had one sibling. Cindy had one sibling. And we had determined early on that we were going to have at least 6 children. And we had 4 by birth, and Cindy was not able to have any more. And so we found a way whereby we could increase our fold, and that was by adoption. And it is such a wonderful experience. You know, people say, well, how can you love that many? There is no boundary to the love that we can have for children. I love my eldest as much as I love my youngest. It's just family. And I take as much work with that youngest one to raise her in the training and the admonition of the Lord as I did with our firstborn. But you see, that's what parenting is all about. It's not having kids and leave them to their own to raise themselves. Mother and father need to be an integral part of their life. Also in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 6, there we see that children are definitely a blessing from the Lord. These are the Deberry blessings. These are our 9 children, and the oldest ones, their mates. Our oldest one is 36, our youngest one is 7. But no matter what the case is, they are our children, they are our blessings, they make us happy, they make us smile, but there is a lot of work that goes into raising those children. 5 of the children are grown now, and the other 5 are with us today. But then there are the grand blessings also. And this is a picture of most of the grandchildren. We just had a grandchild about a month ago, and so he is not in this picture. And we have another grandson that is not in this picture. We have a grandson that died when he was about 4 months old. And we've got another one on the way, supposed to be here in August. But these are the joys of our life. But you know, with these great blessings comes great responsibilities. And I believe that this is where we're falling down, not only in America, but even in the body of Christ. First of all, we have the responsibility of having children in the right way. And what I mean by that, not through fornication or adultery, not to have homes where there are two mommies and two daddies, but to have children with a father and a mother that have the right to be married to one another and have it in their mind that they're going to raise these children in the way that they should go. But second of all, to take the task of having children in a serious fashion. I believe sometimes, you know, when especially younger people get married, they have the idea that we've got to have children. You know, this is what my parents expect, and that's what your parents expect. And, you know, I want to have two children before we get too old and too set in our ways. Not to say that that's necessarily wrong, but I don't believe that we have the proper perspective. Because we're just not bringing children into the world. We're bringing souls into the world. And what we have to realize is that we're going to have to give that child 18, 19, 20, 21 years of our life. And oftentimes, and you can see this in Indianapolis, having been acquainted with the judicial system and in the foster care system, you have people who will have children time and time again, and just as soon as the newness wears off, you're going to find these children either at the hospital or you're going to find them at the guardian's home. We need to take a serious look. You know, should we be parents? I believe that there are some people that do not need to be parents. They shouldn't be parents because they don't have the right mind, the right attitude. If they bring children into the world, then they're not going to raise them the way that they ought. And then it's going to be on society's hands what we're going to do with these children. We have such an overflow in Marion County that we cannot keep children in foster homes. Judges are having to return them to parents who are so-so. Sometimes they're not even removed from their homes because there's no place to take them. That tells us people are failing. Fathers and mothers are failing. And so therefore we need, before we begin to have children, we need to have a very serious attitude about this. It seems like some women are in the business of reproducing children. One of our adopted daughters, her mother had 14 children, and she only raised one. Excuse me. And so, just about every time we would turn around, she would be expecting, but she was not expecting to keep that child. And even we in the body of Christ, we need to instruct our young ladies and our young men. As they're growing up, don't wait till they're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years of age. You begin to instruct them and tell them that there is no premarital sex. There is no fornication. You wait for the young lady. You be the young man that you ought to be. Pick out the young lady. And then you approach marriage very seriously and having children in a serious manner. The responsibility of fulfilling, we also have the responsibility of fulfilling the assignment that God has given to us. And that assignment is that we are to bring them up, we are to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I'd like to look at our text for today just briefly. I want to deal with some specifics here in this particular passage. First of all, you'll notice there in Ephesians 6 that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And as you go out in society, you see that this is very seldom ever done. And you can even see it within the body of Christ, that children are not obeying their parents. Well, if they're not obeying their parents, something has gone awry and something needs to be fixed. Second of all, they are to honor their parents. Having grown up as the son of Parvin DeBerry, there was one thing that my father taught me and demanded of me and expected of me, and that was respect. He says, you can disagree with me, and he says, you may not like what I say and what I've handed down, but he says, you will always respect me. I got myself in trouble several times because I didn't respect him as I should. And rightfully, that was the case. But you know, young people today need to honor and respect their parents. So many times when you go into the homes of individuals, of Christians, you can see that the children do not honor nor respect their parents. It is incumbent upon the parents to teach their children to obey. And second of all, for them to honor them, not only in their younger years, but even in their older years. For some time, Cindy's mother, her stepfather passed away at an early age, and for 15 years, Cindy's mother lived in our home. Cindy gave her the honor and the respect that was due her. She could not take care of herself. She needed help. It's amazing, though, what dating can do for you. At the age of 70 this last spring, she dated a man up in Lafayette, Indiana, and they were married in March. So she moved out. But I still have my mother in the home with us. And it's because, first of all, that I love her, but second of all, because it's a point of honoring and respecting her. I couldn't imagine my mother staying in a home, in a house where she was afraid, when there was plenty of room in our house and she could come and live with us. Honor and respect is of the utmost importance, and it affects not only your relationship in the early years, but in the latter years. And really, you know, that's what our parents need. They need their children when they get older. Fathers, in that text, are not to provoke their children to wrath. Now, here again, I'm probably guilty of this. I would imagine if my four older children were here, they might have said that Dad got rather mean and surly with them at one time or another. I've had to tell them on several occasions that I've been wrong, that I've sinned against them, and please forgive me. But as a father, you know, my job is not to provoke them to wrath, it's to provoke them to be good, to provoke them to obedience, to provoke them to those good works. I want to provoke my children to become children of God. I don't want them to continue in the world. And I'm thankful that all five of my older children have been obedient to the gospel. They are faithful Christians. The ones that are married, one's married to the song leader at Eastside, and two of my sons-in-law are deacons at Eastside. And I say that not to brag, but I say that possibilities. I think sometimes parents give up on children way too early. And you know, we have our life and we become busy and we don't have the time that we ought. And through that and through provoking our children to wrath, we lose them. And how terrible that is, because we've got the blessings of God. You talk about the blessing of becoming a Christian. You talk about the blessing Brother Willis did just a few moments ago and ultimately making to heaven. You know, each parent, they have captive people to teach, to train, to be an example to be an influence to. And sometimes we don't use it because we're looking exterior of our children. We are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a contrast between provoking our children to wrath and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. they are at different ends of the spectrum. And we as parents have to choose which way we're going to raise our children. The Bible says we've got to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The world says provoke them to wrath. But if you follow the world, your children are going to end up in eternity in hell. If you follow the Word of God, our children can be taught. Our children can be obedient to the gospel, and they can be headed to heaven. But notice, the fathers are ultimately responsible. Now, I have a very godly wife, a woman that I cannot do without in the physical realm. And I'll have to say that she has done a great deal of teaching and training of our children. But you know, no matter how much she does, you know, they say a man's work is from son to son, a woman's work is never done. Well, that's usually the way it is with Cindy in our household. But, you know, even with her working all of the time to take care of the house and to take care of the children, I'm ultimately responsible. You know, I'm responsible for the training of my children. I am responsible to be the head of the house. You know, a lot of men in our society, and sad to say, even in the body of Christ, they're giving away their headship and they're giving it to the woman. I have the responsibility from God to be the head. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be the dictator and I'm going to be a tyrant, but it does mean that I'm going to be the head. And it does mean when it comes to training our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's primarily my responsibility. The buck stops with me. Now, that's not to say that Cindy doesn't have a part, but it means that I am ultimately responsible. You know, fathers need to do certain things. Fathers need to pray for wisdom. Over in the book of James, the first chapter, it talks about there the need of praying for wisdom. One of the first things that before we ever started having children was that we prayed that we would have the wisdom to raise our children in the right way. Cindy and I got married at a very young age. But we were not so young that we didn't realize our best asset, and that was the God of heaven, and praying unto Him, asking Him for wisdom. And I believe that this is something that all fathers need to do, is pray for wisdom. You need to pray with and for your children. I believe one of the things that will make a great impression upon your children is not only that you pray for them, is that you pray with them. Third, teach. Not just read to your children the Word of God. Now, it's nice when you're going to tuck them in at night to read them a chapter or two from the Bible. But let me tell you, if that's all that you do, not much is going to be accomplished. We need to teach our children. We need to sit down with them and discuss things that they are able to understand, which is according to their age. But you know, oftentimes we feel that because I, as the parent, know something, that my children automatically know it too. And that is not the case. You know, my father, I guess is what you would have called an old country preacher, but you know, my father had a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge. And if it hadn't been for him talking with me and making points of application, I don't believe that I would be the man today that I am. And so what we're looking for with our children, we're not looking, if they're 2 or 3 years old, people say, well, they're not going to be able to understand this till they're 12 or 13. Well, you know what? If they keep hearing it, over and over and over, if you're teaching this, it's going to become ingrained in them. You know, really that's what education is all about. You begin school in kindergarten and you go through high school. A great majority of that is just repetition. And that's what it should be in the home. As fathers teach their children, teach them. Just don't read to them. Be seen studying, praying, and being a good example. A good example will do more to teach our children than a lot of set-down lessons and the raising of our voices. accompanying your children to various services, and I'm talking here about the worship services, Bible classes, Bible studies, vacation, Bible schools, singings, whatever the case might be. Fathers need a life patterned after the life of Jesus, one that is humble, holy, and godly. Especially fathers when you have young boys. I've only got one son, but I always tried to put before him the example of what a man ought to be. Well, my father taught me there is a difference between a male and a man. A male, you are born, but you are taught to be a man. You're taught to be a man of God. You're taught to be a man of morality and scruples and uprightness. And that's what fathers need to be teaching their young sons. And fathers need to be teaching their young ladies that someday they're going to be a lady, and that they need to have the characteristics and the attributes of a lady. Never be afraid to say that you're sorry or that you made a mistake. I believe that that's one of the problems that has plagued many people. I don't know if it's just that they don't want to say it or they're just too proud to say it, but fathers, don't be afraid to say that you've made a mistake, that you've sinned, that you've fallen short of the glory of God. Ask God's forgiveness, repenting of it, and do the same with your children. And you know what that's going to build within your children? A respect for you. Our relationship with our children. Within our relationship with our children, we must be something and they must be something. In the world that we live today, you know, I've heard mothers say, well, I want to be a best friend to my daughter. And the fathers say, I want to be a pal with my son. Let me tell you, you cannot skew the lines of the relationship and expect to train your children up in the way that they should go. Because we must be the parents, the father or mother, not a friend, not a pal, not a good buddy, but they must be the children submitting and obeying and honoring us. You know, you build respect that way. You know what the lines are. Well, they're the children. They are to be in subjection to us. We are the parents, and it's our responsibility to train them in the way that they should go. We need to value our relationship. Now, I'm talking, this applies to both the mothers, but especially to the fathers. You know, we need to value the relationship that we have with our children. Sometimes we just dismiss them, don't have much to do with them, really don't have any kind of relationship. We need to value that relationship. Part of the reason's because there is divorce within marriage is because the husband does not value the marital relationship and the wife does not value the marital relationship. And likewise with the parent and with the child relationship, both the parents and the children need to value that relationship. We are family. We have a special relationship. People that love us, that care for us, that provide for us. And with our children, that they're going to obey and honor us. We need to be committed to the relationship. We need to be devoted to our children. There must be communication and talking to your children, not talking at your children. Addressing them by their name. Sometimes it's rather difficult with me with 10 to get the right name. A name will come out and the child will say, I'm not that one. Well, I try to get the names all right, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I try to address the children personally because I want to build communication with them. I want them to be able to come to Dad and talk to me. And not just about frivolous, needless things, but things as they're growing up that is so needful. You know, things at school, relationships that they might have with other children. As they grow up and begin to date, and then think about being married, and then the marriage relationship. I want them to be able to come to me and communicate. But let me tell you, they won't do that unless you first of all show to them that you're willing to communicate with them. We must know our children, and not just know them by sight, but know them. You know, the amazing thing about having 10 children is that each and every one of them have a different personality, and they have different things that they like and they dislike. And you know, it's up to Dad to know that. Because there's a lot of times they feel punished because I say, "Do you want this?" And they say, "Dad, you know, I don't like that." Well, you know, it's incumbent upon me to know my children, know them physically, know them mentally, know them culturally, which is a subject that many people don't want to approach. We should have trust as a component in this relationship, and we must spend time with our children. Now, I believe that that's not much of a problem for women, but I do believe that that is a great problem for men. I've known gospel preachers that have spent little time with their children, and it's fallen upon their wives to bring the children up. Well, gospel preachers, you know, we're not exempted from this. We have a responsibility to spend time with our children and to raise them. It's our responsibility. A few other necessary considerations. Home should be where the heart is. You know, I believe that that's why there's so many gangs in America today, because there's nothing at home. Children go home and there's nothing there but a TV, and then their friends come over and they get themselves in trouble. Well, home should be where the heart is. And that's going to take a mother and a father being there to make that house a home. You know, children can't make a home. I think that's one of the great contradictions that we have. We think what's going to make a home is having children. No, what makes a home is first of all having parents and then adding to it children. But without the parents, there's not much of a home there. Money cannot buy love. In this world, we throw all kinds of money at all things. Look at all of the money that we've thrown to crime. Now, it's helped in some ways, but crime is still there. Look at the homeless, how many billions of dollars we spend a year on the homeless, and we still have many homeless people. Parents are doing that with children. You know, they're buying them cars, they're buying them all kinds of video games, they're doing everything for the children except really parenting them, and they're throwing them money. Let me tell you, you're doing your children a big disservice when you're throwing money at them. Because your children don't need the money, they need you. They need your time. They need your instruction to raise them in the way that they should go. Our love on certain occasions will have to be tough. We can't always say yes. Our children will have to be corrected, rebuked, and chastised. And if Christians, faithfulness to the Lord must be stressed, or they will have to bear the consequences. And what I mean by that is when our children get up and they are Christians and they become unfaithful, then we as parents should be desirous that the local congregation discipline them. It's sad several times that I've had to discipline even my own children when they were unfaithful to the Lord. But let me tell you, that was one of the hardest things that I had to do, but it was absolutely the best thing that I could do. Because it did bring them back to the Lord. We can't fail when we do it God's way. In bringing up our children in the training and admonition of the Lord, we must use all of our assets. Our family, you know, sometimes our family anymore, there's just nobody there. But you know what? We've got all of our children living right around us. There's about 40 of us. And our children can go back and forth and play, and they're always in the influence of faithful Christians. I realize that not everybody has that golden opportunity, but let me tell you, family who are Christians can be a vital source of help with our children. Our extended family, and what I mean by extended family are maybe those who are very close. We have very dear friends now. He is a gospel preacher that is now retired. But him and his good wife are living with us. And they're one of the great assets in our home. They live in the apartment that Cindy's mother used to live in. And they are wonderful examples. They help teach the children, you know, when mother and dad just are not there. But wonderful asset. And I'm ever thankful that Don and Miriam came to Indianapolis and are now living with us. The local congregation. It's vitally important that we use the local congregation, godly people, to help our children with the example and the influence that they need, especially the older Christians. I think that we sort of put our older Christians aside, and they're not really used. Let me tell you, the older Christians, they've seen many things. They've been around. They know what it's like. And you know what? They realize that there is nothing new under the sun. And so what our children are going through were the very things that they went through 50, 60, 70 years ago. And so we need to use those older Christians. We need to take them, as I said before, to gospel meetings, those kind of things. Instead of taking them to movies, instead of taking them to some recreation, take them where there is great spiritual value. Mike was right when he talked about containing my time. But I'd like for you to turn in closing to two passages. First of all, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the second chapter, verse 52. Referring to, it says there, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." And then if you'll turn back in your Old Testaments to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we want to begin there with verse 5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now, here we find, I believe, two verses that if we practice the principles in these two passages, that we will bring up our children in the training and the admonition of the Lord. I thank you for your time and your presence.